I'd like to turn in the scriptures tonight to the book of Daniel. Daniel, please, chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, and I'm going to look at verse 24. Daniel 5 and 24 says, "Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered the kingdom, thy kingdom, and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." And then looking at verse 30, "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." Look at Psalm chapter 22. Psalm 22, it's a prophetic psalm that David wrote, talks about our Lord Jesus the Christ. Verse 16 says, Psalm 22 and 16, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." Looking at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. He's reminded of this story this past week working in the bush. Something that we don't have up in the Arctic. But down south we enjoy it. So 2 Kings 6, verse 1 to 7. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee and put it. And he put out his hand and took it." Amazing story. And another reading, the last reading, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we'll look at verse 20. "And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples were therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto thee, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Trust the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Tonight my thought is about our hands, about hands in the scripture. And when we look at our hands have so much value to us. And when you injure one of your digits and you think, what am I going to do now? I got to get a Band-Aid or I got to get surgery. We rely on our hands, and our hands are so important to us. And if you just do a little digging, you find out there's bones in these hands, and there's 27 bones in each hand. And they all articulate, work together, and we can have a fantastic grip. And we utilize our hands, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has blessed us with hands. But tonight we're thinking about hands in the scripture. And hands that were supernatural hands. And I want you to think tonight about where you stand before God and his hands. But there was a man by the name of Belshazzar we read about in the book of Daniel. And this man had a grandfather that God had to speak to him because of his disrespect, his lack of reverence for God. But Belshazzar should have known better, but he didn't. He hosted a party, and he began to use the vessels that he had stolen out of the temple, and he brought into Egypt, into Babylon, rather. And he thought, I can just do whatever I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And he hosted a party, and as they began to have such a great time, and they were enjoying their beverages, whatever they might have been, there came the writing of a man's hand. It says, the man's hand wrote upon the wall. I wonder tonight, if you ever had an experience where God spoke to you and it made you understand, this must be God speaking to me. Because it's a personal experience that we all need to have with God. Have you had a personal encounter where God has made you aware? You know this man Belshazzar? You know what happened to him? He didn't take this lightly because he couldn't understand what was written on the wall. But he knew there was something that he needed to be attentive to. And it says in the scriptures that his knees began to smite one against the other. Have you ever trembled before? Have you ever been so convicted about your own soul that you thought in your heart, I need God's help. Help me, O God. Have you ever cried out to God and said, I am lost. I need help. That's what this man, Belshazzar, he realized, I need help. And he called in his magicians and his astrologers and said, tell me what's going on here. What does this mean? A lot of people want to know what something means. Oh, we're hearing a lot about the eclipse, right? What's this mean? I remember I worked one time in the factory, and the presses were going, and it was just at the inception of building frames for GMC trucks, and one of the presses stopped at 666. And they came over to me, and they said, Steve, what's going on? It says 666. People want to know. I said, keep the press running. But tonight, have you ever been disturbed in your own soul and thought, I need help to understand? That's what Belshazzar did. He says, I need help. And nobody could help him. And a lady says, I know a man, Daniel. Let's get Daniel. Oh, I'll put a good nice chain on his neck and I'll give him a robe. Daniel says, no, hold it to yourself. I'll tell you what it means. And he told him what it means. And he says, tonight your kingdom's over. You're done. And that night, Belshazzar was slain. He was a man that had opportunity to know about God. He was a man that knew a lot of knowledge about God. But he wasn't a man that wanted to put his faith in God. And there's a lot of people that live in their life and they hear and they find out truth and they hear sermons. They read the Word of God. They know the stories. But they've never had a time when they went from darkness to light. They never went from a time where they were lost to being found in Christ and having peace. Tonight, what about your own soul? Have you had a specific time in your life where you know that you went from darkness to light because God spoke to you personally? It's a spiritual work that God wants to do in your life. It's a personal work that God wants to do in your life. You see, this isn't about religion. This isn't about, quotes, Christianity in its understood form in this world. This is about a personal relationship with God. And you know where it starts? It starts with admitting to God that you need help. That you realize you are the lost and guilty sinner before a holy, righteous God. We have nothing to offer God because we're lost in our sins. We read in Psalm chapter 22 about a hands, about David giving the prophecy of the Lord Jesus. They pierced my hands and my feet. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came from the glories of heaven with a purpose in mind because of his love for each one of you here tonight. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus loves you? I met a man one time and he was in desperation of his life. And he thought nothing was worth living for. And he thought, Jesus, do you love me? And it came to him, that song he learned as a child. Jesus loves me, this I know. And he thought, Jesus, you love me. But tonight I want to ask you, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that Jesus went to the cross because he loves you? And he was willing to have those nails put into his hands and into his feet? He was willing to have that crown of thorns on his head? And he was lifted up on a cross because he loves you tonight. There's a lot of people talking about love, and you can read and listen to lots of country tunes and whatever else about love, but there's no love greater than the love of Jesus Christ for each one of your souls here tonight. God cares about you very much. You are very important to God. So important that he was willing to give his only begotten Son, Lord Jesus the Christ, to die for you. There's a story I want to tell you about a man up in the Arctic. This man was by the name of John Arnatziak. John Arnatziak lived in the community of Iglulik. Iglulik is about 700 miles from where we live in Pond Inlet. In 2011, John Arnatziak, he and his friends went out to the local cache where they had buried walrus meat, and it's a part of their culture of burying walrus, and they ferment it. It buried under rocks, and they leave it there for months to ferment, and it becomes decomposed. And for them, that's part of their cultural diet. The day came when John and his friends came to retrieve the meat. And as they arrived there, they were greeted with a magnificent creature called a polar bear. The polar bear looked at them and said, I want the meat. And they looked and they said, we want the meat. But the polar bear never gave any warning. And it began to plunge and to thrash and to maul John's friend. And John's friend had a rifle. And John's friend had a bullets. And John had nothing but a hammer. And as that bear went frantically in trying to rip apart John's friend, and the blood was starting to flow, and there was a desperation, John knew there was only going to be one way of surviving that night, that day, as they were trying to get that meat. And John took his hammer, and he went over to that bear, and he plowed it on the front of the nose, and then the bear opened its mouth, and he jammed the hammer down into its throat. And then he grabbed his own arm and he pushed it right down in, and he started to do everything he can to get that bear to attack him. And it would paw at him and throw him away, and he would come back and he would tackle that bear, and he was becoming ripped apart, and his head had ripped out the scalp of his head, and he continued to beat that bear. That bear with claws that are over an inch long, sharp as a razor, ripping out his own flesh. And he continued until the point where the bear pounced on him and was just biting on his scalp, on his head, his skull. And his friend was able to be free from the bear, and he put a bullet inside that chamber and fired it at that sow, and killed the sow and the two cubs, and all the men lived. Why do I tell you that story? John Arnatziak interceded. He interceded. You know what he did? He was willing to give his life if somebody could live. And thank God he lived. But he interceded, and he made a way that there would be an escape from the drastic death of all of them, because the cubs were so involved in this big fight. They all lived. The bears died. Why? John Arnatziak interceded and was willing to go through suffering. I want to remind you about one that did far more suffering for your soul tonight. He was willing to go to the cross to have those nails in his hands, because he loves you. Jesus the Christ interceded. He went between you and eternal damnation. He was willing to be nailed to the cross and to suffer the punishment for whose sins? It was for my sins. Can you say in your own soul, yeah, Jesus died for my sins too? You see, this is a personal thing tonight. This isn't about religion. This is about a relationship with God. The only way it can happen for any person is to have the sin issue resolved, is to have sins taken away. And only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to take away your sins tonight. He says if you believe that Jesus died for you, your sins are as far as the east is from the west, and he will remember them no more. This is forgiveness of sin. This is not just something fake. This is real life, eternal life. This is spiritual life. And I want to ask you tonight, do you have spiritual life? Do you know your sins forgiven? Do you believe Jesus Christ went to the cross to intercede so that you will never have to suffer for your sins? Oh, it's a gift that God wants to give you tonight. God wants you to receive it. He's not asking for anything from you. He's wanting you to put your faith and trust in the gospel message, the good news that Jesus Christ died for you. It's right there in front of you. Just like that man that he was out there and he was felling trees. And he was getting his axe, and he was having probably a great time. He's cutting the axe, cutting those trees. Oh, it's terrible to borrow something, isn't it? And something break. It's like, oh no, what am I going to do now? Oh, alas, it was borrowed, he says, and the axe head is down in the water. What am I going to do? Desperation. Do you feel desperate about your own soul tonight? Or do other people feel desperate for your soul? God wants you to be sincere. This man was desperate. What am I going to do? Oh, he says, where is it? Right there. And he threw in that branch. You know what happened? God showed himself. And that iron swam and it came up and he says, put your hand out and take it. And he put his hand out, took it. Was that a good idea? Of course it was. He took it. What about salvation, the gift of eternal life for your soul? Are you willing to stretch your hand out and take it? It's a gift. Take it. It's like, anybody going to give you a gift? You're going to say, oh, well, I don't know if I should take it. That'd be horrible. God's saying the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Take it. Stretch out your hand and take it. Tonight is your opportunity. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Take it. Stretch out your hand and take it. That's what that man did, didn't he? He stretched out his hand and he, oh, I got my axe head back. Whew, I won't have to tell him about this now. When you borrow something, you just want to make sure you get done and get it back. Yeah. What about that man, Thomas? Thomas was a man that was with the Lord. He knew about the Lord. He touched the Lord. He was with the Lord. He heard all about the Lord. He witnessed the Lord. He smelled the Lord. He was so close to the Lord. What about your life? Do you feel like, yeah, I know all about God. I know all about Jesus. I've heard all the stories. Thomas, he says, unless I put my finger into the nails in his hand, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus comes to him, Thomas, check it out. Oh, could you imagine Thomas? Wow, that is you, Lord. But he says, blessed are those that have not seen and believe. I'm asking you tonight, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe in your soul that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? I'm not talking about believing about the story. I'm talking about believing that this is good enough for you personally, that Jesus Christ went to the cross and he died. He suffered for sins. He suffered for your sin. That's how much he loves you. Tonight you can be forgiven of your sin. You know what it's like to be forgiven? Oh, it's always such a liberating thing. Oh, I don't have to deal with this problem anymore. I'm forgiven. When it comes to your soul with God for all eternity, there's nothing more important to strive after than to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Tonight I pray that you will take to heart the thought of hands. When you look at your hand and those 27 bones, you remember that Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross. And it says in the scripture that no bone of him was broken. And they put the nails through his hand. And he did it because he loves you. Never go through your life thinking nobody loves you. God loves you so much. Jesus Christ died for you. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. We're thankful that he died on the cross for our sins. We're thankful that he interceded. We're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is not on a cross. He's not in a tomb. He's risen and he's at your right hand. We pray for your blessing on the souls here listening, that each person would be blessed. There would be glory given to you. We pray that many would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and commit our safety to you in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll sing in closing number 200. Number 200. They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love, love, he suffered there for me. 'Twas love beyond compare. Number 200.